जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
द फॉलोइंग इज अ लेक्चर बाय हिज होलीनेस गोपाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी महाराज on the divine occasion of the disappearance of Srila Sanatan Goswami, delivered on 19th of July 2016 in Montreal, Canada.
Gopi jana bala bha Yuvala dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर Hare Krishna, welcome to the program this evening. Sadly now, today is a very auspicious day. Why is it auspicious?
Sanatan Goswami disappearance day.
And
first day of Chaturmasya.
And
Guru Purnima.
Yes. And Guru Purnima. So we'll briefly discuss Guru Purnima, then proceed to discuss a bit about Sanatan Goswami. And then we have a little time to discuss our Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, because the teachings are as important as the pastimes. So, today is also observed as Guru Purnima, mainly because today is the appearance day of the original Guru. What the? Yeah. The Lord created Vyasadeva and the son of Rasa Muni to give us the transcendental literature. Prior to 5,000 years, people's memory was very sharp. Just by hearing once, they would memorize. And one who can memorize by hearing once, what is it called?
Shruti Dar.
Shruti Dar. Okay. So 5,000 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Shuddhidhara. He memorized all the 100 verses that Kesha Kishwari chanted at the speed of the mind, at the speed of the wind. So, after 5,000 years, people would memorize. Just by hearing once, that's all they needed. 5,000 years ago marked the commencement of the age of Kali. And along with the age of Kali, the weakness of memory. Now our memory is so weak, we virtually have to write down everything. And the digital gadgets are making a memory even weaker. We are so dependent on them. So, the Lord incarnated in Vyasadeva and compiled one Veda. Then he divided the one Veda into four. He gave us the Mahabharata. He gave us the Vedanta Sutra, in which he summarized the purpose of life. The entire Vedic literature is aimed to educate us. There are two types of education. One is material and one is spiritual. For material education, you go to schools and colleges. and we get information. But this information is incomplete. Just like Prabhupada in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, first canto say, there's so many volumes of books being written, but they fail to bring peace on earth because there's a spiritual vacuum in these books. So in the educational institution, there is a spiritual vacuum. Prabhupada was once lecturing at a prominent university in America, and there were learned professors in the audience. The Prabhupada asked them, is there any new department in your university that tells you what happens after death? And there was silence. And there was complete silence. So, this education has to be filled by these kinds of books of reality. Don't close the wall, just half, just a little bit. I don't want to suffocate you. I'm recovering from a cold, by the way. So, Vyasa Dev gave us the Vedic literature, summarized everything in the Vedanta. So one day, he was sitting on the banks of the river Saraswati, and he was feeling despondent. Despondent means you don't feel satisfied. He was meditating. I gave this vast Vedic literature, summarized it in the Vedanta Sutra, but it appears that there's something lacking in my effort. And as he was meditating, I said, what is lacking? Who appeared there?
Nandamani.
Nandamani is also known as Srikaya. You know, there was a path of the scripture. Narada Muni appeared on the scene. So Vyasadeva inquired from his guru, why am I feeling despondent? I've given this vast Vedic literature that can guide the humanity to perfection. Why am I feeling dissatisfied? Narada Muni said, because you have not exclusively presented the science your devotional service. And then that gave birth to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The spotless Purana. Digama Kalpa Karol Kalitam Phalam. The spotless Purana that teaches nothing but pure devotional service. Spotless because there's no reference to Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, or beginning to any references, pure devotional service. So today is the auspicious day that Vyasadeva appeared on the planet, and because he is considered to be the original guru in India, all the gurus, Mayavadis and impersonals and persons, observe today as Guru Purnima. In our sampradaya, we don't observe it as Guru Purnima, but we are more personal. We observe the actual appearance of the Guru as Guru Purnima. So, on this day, we can fall at the feet of Vyasadeva. Pray to Vyasadeva to bless us with spiritual knowledge so that we can proceed on the path of devotional service. Vyasadeva's son was Shukadeva Goswami, who recited the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And this Bhagavatam was later recited by Sutta Goswami to the sages in the Vaishnavya. Sutta Goswami's memory was so sharp that he heard the Bhagavatam just once from his father Vyasadeva. I'm sorry. Sutta Goswami heard this just once from Shukadeva Goswami, and he memorized it, 18,000 verses. So today is Vyasadeva's birthday. We can wish him happy birthday. So you can sing a happy birthday melody. And you can beg him for his mercy so that he can be advanced spiritually. Vyasadev ki.
Jai.
Is also the disappearing day of a great sage called Sanatan Goswami. Normally, in a material condition, when it is somebody's disappearance day means the day somebody passes away. Normally, on the disappearance day, we lament in the Western culture. They go to the samadhis and offer flowers. And but in our spiritual culture, appearance and disappearance days, both are celebrated. In both we meditate on the wonderful activities that these acharyas perform. Sanatana Goswami was the older brother of Ripa Goswami. Goswami today has become a family name, a caste. But Goswami actually means one who has full control over mind and senses. Any Goswamis here? Okay. These are all Goswamis in the making. So, Sanatana Goswami is actually a Manjari. A Manjari is an incarnation of a Manjari. Manjaris are assistant to the gopis. And the gopis are assistants to Radharani. And they all have one point agenda. Whether the Manjari or the gopis or Radharani. What is that one point agenda? Serve Krishna. Less intelligent people may project the gopis as the Lord's girlfriend, but Radharani symbolizes the highest devotion one can ever meditate upon. And the gopis, they help Radharani in serving Krishna. And the Manjari, they help the gopis. So this is how the parampara works. So Sutta Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, along with his brother, is an incarnation of Manjari. They were born in a Brahminical family of Karnataka. And they were very much respected in society. They were respected in society as very learned. All day, Sanatana Goswami and his brother, they had two brothers, Rupa and Anupa. All day they would just study the Bhagavatam, discuss Krishna Katha and nothing else. At that time, India was conquered by a Mohammedan king. And the population was, by and large, Hindu. So the king was looking for someone very popular with the people to run his administration. And he discovered that these two brothers are very popular. Everybody likes them. They have no enemies, Rupa and Sanatana. So he asked them, please come and run my administration. He said, sir, we have no interest in this. Our interest is only Krishna Katha. And then the king literally forced them to run the administration. So Rupa and Sanatana were running the richest kingdom in the world. Like today, if you ask, which is the richest country in the world? Which is the richest country?
No idea.
America, Canada, Okay, America has the image of being the richest country. Even now they want borrowed money from China. Okay, but at that time, the richest country in the world was India. And India had many kings, but the richest part of India was the part of Bengal, which was run by Nawab Hussain Shah and administered by Rupa and Sanatan. So these two were very learned, and Rupa Goswami did not have much interest in the administration. Both of them didn't have. So Rupa Goswami met the Lord in Ramakeri, which is now in Bangladesh. And they said, Kiyami, please describe, who are we? The society thinks that we are very learned. They respect us. But we don't even know who we are. Of course, this was a humility. They knew who we are. But our acharyas teach us by example how to be humble. In material life, humility is considered a drawback. Am I right? People think, oh, if I'm humble, then I'll get exploited. But in spiritual life, humility is a virtue and a passport to go back to God. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm for the humble and the meek. So, Rupa Goswami wanted to leave his government service. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't leave at the moment. And he gave an example how to work in a detached frame of mind. This example is quoted by Prabhupada in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. He gave the example of a married woman who has a lover. A married woman, if she has a lover, she'll be very conscientious at home. She'll mentally meditate, when am I going and going to go and meet my lover? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this example to highlight. Do your job for the king, but mentally keep thinking, how can I serve Krishna? That's how Krishna says, tells Arjuna, if the mind and intelligence dedicated to me, Arjuna, take part in this battle and fight. So Rupa Goswami continued his government service. But then he got too tired. He resigned by force. The king would not let him resign because he was such a good administrator. And he had a whole boat full of gold coins. 500 years ago, the currency was gold, not the thin rupee notes. Of course, the Canadian dollar note is better than the euro. But in a whole boat full of gold coins, you see how much wealth they had. But he distributed his wealth in a very exemplary manner. Gave half his wealth to the brahmanas. 25% he gave to relatives. And 25% he kept for future emergency. His brother Sanatan continued in government service. But his heart was not there. The Vaman king was going to conquer Orissa, which was ruled by a Vaishnava king. Sanatana Goswami could not tolerate that. So he stayed at home, and along with 30 brahmanas, was studying the Srimad Bhagavatam from morning to night. The king was waiting. When is Sanatana going to come back to office? His brother was an irresponsible person. He resigned and went away. Not just like to run a temple, you depend on good administrators to run a kingdom. and he put people's children. So the king sent his doctor, go and see how sick Sanatana is. He hasn't come to work for nearly 1 month. These days, if somebody wants to come to your house, he rings the bell, and you say, who's it? And if you want him to come, you press the button. Am I right? Otherwise, you can't come in. Just like we're giving phone calls. Check who's calling. And if the bill collector, you don't answer. So, the doctor came in straight. There was no bell to ring at that time, years ago. And he came in. He saw Sanatana studying the Bhagavatam along with 30 other Brahmanas. So he went back and told the king, sir, Sanatana is completely normal. I saw him studying the Bhagavatam. The king was very upset. Let me go and see why the Sanatana is behaving like this. And the king came straight inside Sanatana's house. And Sanatana showed respect to the king. He offered obeisances to the king. The king said, I want you to come back and resume your duties. I have to go and fight with the king of Orissa. Sanatana said, sir, I'm not in a position to do this. I just can't work for you anymore. King walked away in an angry mood, but told Sanatana, told the officer, put Sanatana in prison. Those days there was no judicial system. Like Prime Minister Trudeau can't tell anyone, put him in prison. He had to go through a judicial process. So Sanatana then ended up in prison. Then a letter arrived from his brother, saying, Sanatana has kept some money with the grocery store. He kept 10,000 gold coins. So the jailkeeper was a Brahmin. Sanatana approached him first. With 5,000 gold coins. Sanatana said, please release me. Here is some donation for you. The jailkeeper saw 5,000 gold coins. My God, I'll buy a limousine. Then he was scared. The king finds out that Sanatana had escaped from prison. He won't let the jail officer stay alive. So the jailkeeper hesitated. Nothing. Okay, take 7,000 gold coins. So the jailkeeper saw 7,000 gold coins. Okay, now you can go. So he helped him get released from the prison. And Sanatana and one servant called Ishan proceeded to Varanasi to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling all over India. In that time, he had just reached Varanasi. On the way, they stopped at a motel. You have motels here in Canada. In America, there's a joke. Motel in Patel. What's the motel there? I won't type, but anyway, then. So they stopped at the rest house in the night. The owner of the rest house was a very shrewd man. He had an astrologer at the reception desk. And the astrologer would estimate how rich every client is. And if the client was rich, then he would plunder him in the night. Highway robbery. So this astrologer reported that this Sanatana was staying there for one night along with his assistant Ishan. Sanatana was wearing a beard because he was escaping from the prison to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and walking on a secluded path so that no one could recognize him. So the devotee proprietor was very courteous to Sanatana. And Sanatana was well experienced in diplomacy. So he said, "Why is that so nice to me? If someone's very nice to you, you get suspicious. Someone very nice, flattens you, you look so sweet, so handsome. You know, the guy is up to some tricks." Sanatana was very curious, why is this man so nice? So he asked his assistant, Ishan, "Are you carrying any wealth with you?" And he said, "I'm carrying 7 gold coins with me." Sanatana said, "Why can't you get with you?" He took the 7, actually he was carrying 8 gold coins, which was a lie, 7. He said, "Why can't you get with you?" He took the 7 gold coins and offered it to the hotel proprietor. The hotel proprietor said, No, I can't take from you. I was previously planning on murdering you to take this money. Now since you've come, I can't take it." Sanatana said, "If you don't take it, somebody else will kill me and take it. Better you take it." So Sanatana gave him 7 gold coins and sent Ishan back. But Ishan lost his confidence. He had 8 gold coins and told him 7. In the first place, he had 8 without information. Sanatana was not me. Then again, he lied. As they were proceeding to Varanasi, he was walking on secluded paths so that nobody could see him. He finally reached Varanasi, where Lord Chaitanya was staying in the house. What do you call? What? Who said Chaitanya? Chandrasekhar belonged to a secluded village. He belonged to a low caste family. But Lord Chaitanya stayed in his house. Because Lord Chaitanya never saw who was high caste, low caste. He saw who was a devotee of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya was staying over there. Lord Chaitanya from outside knew Sanatana Goswami has arrived now. Lord Chaitanya told Chandrasekhar, "Go outside. There's a great saint standing there. Bring him inside." Chandrasekhar came out in the balcony. He was looking for the great sage. He thought the great sage would be saffron clothes and all that. He just saw a man with a beard, so he concluded he must be some mullah. So Sanatana came back and said, "There's no one outside. All I can see is a mullah." So Sanatana Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "This man is not a mullah. He's a great devotee." So he came in. And Sanatana Goswami came in. Lord Chaitanya had embraced him. And when Sanatana and Chandrasekhar saw them embracing each other, he could estimate Sanatana Goswami must be a very elevated devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meditating on an expensive blanket that Sanatana Goswami was wearing. When Sanatana Goswami was coming, from to Varanasi. On the way he stopped at the house of his brother-in-law, whose name was Srikant. Srikant had come with 300,000 gold coins to buy horses for his king. So he saw Sanatana Goswami, his brother-in-law. Big long beard, long hair. He said, "What is this? You are such an elevated person, growing a big beard. Come and stay with me." And Sanatana was not interested. But he gave Sanatana an expensive blanket, which he was wearing. So when Lord Chaitanya saw this expensive blanket, he was just staring at that expensive blanket. Sanatana Goswami could understand Lord Chaitanya is not happy with it. A person in a renounced order of life should not dress opulently, should not eat opulently. Brahmin, especially sannyasi, they should dress very simply and eat very simply. Not that I want pizzas all the time. So Sanatana Goswami could understand that the Lord is not pleased with the expensive blanket he's wearing. So he went to the banks of the Ganges where there was an old Bengali mendicant. He told the mendicant, "Can you give me your torn quilt? I'll give you my expensive blanket in exchange." The mendicant said, "Are you joking with me? You are going to give me your expensive blanket in exchange for this torn quilt? I don't believe it." And I said, "No, I'm serious." So they traded. He gave him the expensive blanket and took his torn quilt. The Sanatana came back to Lord Chaitanya with the torn quilt that he was wearing, torn blanket. And the Lord was very pleased. The Lord said, "A good physician does not treat a disease and let the cause of the disease remain. Let's say you have a disease. You go to the doctor. The doctor gives you medicine, but then he also tells you how to avoid the disease, alright?" So Lord Chaitanya was saying, "A good physician doesn't let the cause of the disease remain." The Sanatana Goswami had abandoned. He took to the renounced order of life. And now he'll be dressed very opulently. And what will people think? Regarding the renounced order of life, Lord Chaitanya said, just like on a white sheet, if you have a black dot, it can be seen from a distance. So in a sannyasi's character, if there's any shortcoming, people will highlight it. So one should be very, very careful. So now this should mean we should all start wearing torn clothes. This is just to show the mood and renunciation being. Otherwise you can dress up as smartly as you want. So Sanatana Goswami was once traveling to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the way to Jagannath Puri, he got blisters. His whole body became full of pus, boils. So he was thinking, on the occasion of Rath Yatra, I'll throw myself below the chariot and commit suicide. So when he reached Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was there. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. He could understand what is in Sanatana's mind. So the Lord said, "Sanatana, this body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. And I will use it as I see fit." Lord Chaitanya is very Sanatana. Om Chaitanya Sanatana. Sanatana Sanatana Swami, along with his brother Rupa, left their opulence and went to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya personally instructed Rupa and Sanatana on the science and devotional service. And he sent him to Vrindavan with many points to accomplish. One was to write books on devotional service based on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The other one was to discover, identify places of pilgrimage, places where Lord Krishna had performed his pastime. The third one was to establish temples and deity worship and to teach people how to do deity worship. But the first temple installed in Vrindavan was the temple of Radha Madhavan by Sanatana Goswami. After Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan, you know there were six Goswamis in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Abhinandan Goswami, Abhinandan Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. All these Goswamis were outstanding in their own field. Raghunathas Goswami was the son of a millionaire, the only son, renounced everything. Gopal Bhatta Goswami came from a family of scholars. Jiva Goswami was a super excellent scholar. And the literature led by the Goswami is very vast in history. Sanatana Goswami was doing Madhukari. Do you know what Madhukari means? They go house to house. As you enter someone's house, you open the door and give you a gift. I also work in Burma. You heard of Burma? You heard of Burma?
Yes.
Yeah. In Burma, Buddhism is the main religion. And it's amazing. You see Buddhist monks, five-year-old boys, shaving up, wearing monk dress, and going house to house begging. But the moment they knock at some door, the Burmese open their house and give them charity. You don't even have to ask them anything. So this Madhukari tradition was there. And sometimes when we didn't go on that parikram, people come and give us chapatis. So they would go Madhukari house to house. And here is the situation. Rupa and Sanatana had all the comforts of life. But they renounced everything, went to Vrindavan, where they lived under a different tree every night, and they lived by begging. As Sanatana was begging, he came to the house of one Mr. Chobe, who had a deity of Mother Mohan there. And Sanatana was very attracted to that deity. He wanted that deity for worship. And Chobe said, "No, this deity is one of my children." He would treat the deity as one of his child. But then the deity in a dream told Chobe, "Please give me for worship to Sanatana Goswami." Sanatana Goswami got this deity, and Sanatana himself was living in a hut on the banks of the Yamuna. And he was worshiping his deity. Krishna says in the Gita, "Patnam paspam phalam toyam Or when we were done in devotion, even a glass of water, it's not at all very poor. You can only afford salt and dry chapatis. So the deity said, Sanatan, can't you give me better prasad? And just salt and dry chapati. Sanatan said, my lord, this is all I can afford at the moment. So Sanatan and his deity was on the banks of the Yamuna, worshipping the deity. And a businessman, a salt dealer, was going to Agra, and he got stuck in front of Sanatan's hut in the mud. It was raining, and the boat would not move. So the businessman was worried. He wanted to reach Agra before night, when the night the thieves would come and plunder these ships. So from a distance he saw some light in a hut. He came to the hut to pray. When we are in difficulty, we all pray, isn't it? Even the atheist, when he's in difficulty, he says, oh God, please help him. So the businessman came and prayed to the deity of Madan Mohan. And when he came back, the boat started moving on its own. And he proceeded to Agra, where he made a lot of money. He made this money, and he came back and told Sanatana Goswami, here is this money I made due to your deity's mercy. Take this money. Sanatana told him, keep this money and make a temple of the Lord. And they made him. And temple of Radha Madan Mohan. Sanatana Goswami wrote many books on devotional service. Once Sanatana Goswami went to Rupa Goswami's house. Hut. And there he saw these two gopis, talking to the Lord. But none stand, they will all meet together. So Sanatana came to the Rupa Goswami's dwelling. And they were having prasad. Rupa Goswami gave some very delicious sweet rice to taste. Sanatana said, where did you get this sweet rice from? So delicious. And as Rupa said, one very beautiful young girl, she came and gave me this milk and sugar and her Christmas. And said, please make sweet rice for you and your brother. And she went away. And she never came back. Nothing said. That young girl was Radharani. You took service from Radharani. That's not good. The devotee's mentality is to serve, but not take anything. Once Raghunandas Goswami was sitting in a hot sun of Radhakund and doing his bhajan. Radharani, the principal devotee of the Lord, felt great compassion seeing Raghunath sit in the hot sun. So she came from behind, took the top piece of her sari, and held it like an umbrella on the top of Raghunatha's Goswami. Raghunatha Goswami was passing by. Oh! Raghunath Das is taking service from Radharani. So he severely chastised Raghunath You should serve the Mother Rani, you only feel bad. And after that, they started a tradition of having bhajan kutis, you see, in Vrindavan area. Once, Raghunath Das Rupa Goswami was doing his bhajan in Radhakund, and there was a tiger nearby drinking water. So Siddhartha Goswami, Krishna was standing there with a stick to protect the devotee. Siddhartha saw that, taking service from Krishna. And then there's that story, I believe Janata Maharaj said that in the morning club. There was a devotee who had pleased Lord Shiva very much. And Lord Shiva, and he told Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He gets easy pleased, easy displeased. So Lord Shiva, the devotee said, can you give me a benediction? Shiva said, yes. I want the most expensive gift that someone may have. Sanatana said, or Lord Shiva said, there's a sage called Sanatana Goswami. He has a touchstone which can really turn everything to gold. So this Brahman came to Sanatana Goswami, which Lord Shiva has referenced, and said, Lord Shiva sent me here to get that touchstone from you. Oh, you want a touchstone? No problem, I'll give it to you. You see that heap of garbage? And underneath that heap of garbage. So the Brahmin ran through, searched all the garbage, and there he found the touchstone. But he wanted to test it, to believe it turned everything to gold. And he saw whatever he touched, and it was gold. With a bliss! How many of you would like to have that touchstone? Okay. Wherever he touched, it became gold. So with a bliss, he was dancing. And some intelligent man stopped him and said, hey, why are you in so much ecstasy? I have a touchstone! You can turn anything into gold. I'll become a millionaire now. He inquired, how did he get this touchstone? So he reviewed the whole script. The name of the touchstone lying under the heap of garment. Oh, if this was the most valuable thing that sage had, why did he keep it in the heap of garment? You don't keep something valuable in the heap of garbage, do you? So the man said, yes, he must be having something better. The man at Sanatana Goswami and said, if this was the most expensive thing you had, why did you keep it in a heap of garbage? Surely you must be having something more. And he wanted something more. Throw that stuff stone away. So the Brahmin was meditating. Throw that stuff stone away. Throw so many gold out. But he did. And then Sanatana gave the most valuable gift, which was the holy name of the Lord. So the holy name is the real touchstone. Chant knowingly, unknowingly, everyone gets benefit. Sometimes when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are hesitant. We say, oh, to come to Krishna consciousness, we all have to give up this, I have to give up this. But you don't have to give up anything. What do you really have? You may think that I have senses that I can enjoy. I have bank balance that I can enjoy. I have assets that I can enjoy. Even if you can enjoy, how long can you enjoy? Eternally? But before death, there's something else that comes. Old age. Is old age enjoyable? Today I was speaking to a devotee who works in the hospital. They were telling me, they see doctors who are curing patients lying in the hospital. Whether you're a doctor or not a doctor, whether you're a billionaire or a pauper, everyone has to go through old age. And old age is terrible. I was in Vancouver recently, and I was visiting an old age home. Terrible! The way people are suffering. That suffering has been covering each one of us. But your life is painful. So, what should we do? Take to Krishna consciousness. So there are many wonderful books of Sanatana Goswami, his instructions. Lord Chaitanya gave Sanatana Goswami detailed instructions on the science of devotional service. With regards to complete shelter, Sharanagati, Lord Chaitanya said, accept what is favorable for spiritual advancement and reject what is unfavorable for spiritual advancement. When you come to spiritual life, you get to know what's conducive, what's detrimental. Just like in a day-to-day life, if something is good for health, you take it. Something is bad for health, you don't take it. So what is good for spiritual life, you take it. What is good for spiritual life? Chanting the holy name, staying in devotee association, preaching. What is bad? Avoid that. Then what else? The conviction that Krishna will give you protection. This conviction that Krishna will protect me. The acceptance of the Lord is one's guardian or master. Who is our master and guardian? The Lord. Self-surrender. That means keep your views, keep your goals identical to the Lord and His full sense. Humility. So these instructions are given by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. And so we should today fall at the feet of Sanatana Goswami and beg Him to give us wisdom so that we can become determined to stay on the spiritual path and follow the instructions and not to put in the gate as given. And Sanatana Goswami is ready to bless us if we sincerely make the request. So how many want Sanatana Goswami's blessings? Oh, blessings who want to get a touchstone or to get the holy name. Can't have both. Sanatana Goswami said, if you want a touchstone, then if you want the most expensive thing, throw the touchstone away. Of course, we can use both. We can use the Lakshmi to make temple to the Lord. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to comment a few words on book distribution also. We were just talking. It's so nice to see that devotees are going out there distributing books. Prabhupada said, as long as book distribution goes on, I'll never die. Prabhupada wanted these books to be distributed and read. We should make it a point to read these books. And also distribute these books. In North America, I've seen a strong endeavor to increase book distribution. And it's so nice that some of the devotees are going out today. So all of you, please experience of this, of preaching. Just like a blind man, he's walking on the wrong side of the street. You hold his hand and put him on the right side. That is what preaching book distribution does. It gives them knowledge and which they improving the life. All of your pleasing part, Buddhism, Hare Krishna. And then more about this tomorrow. Any questions? Yes, I love you.
Maharaj, you spoke about Guru Purnima and Vyasa Puja. Regarding the Guru, we sometimes discuss Brahmate Bharate Kaun, Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach. So, what is this Bhakti Lata Beach? Who has the Bhakti Lata Beach? Where does the Bhakti Lata Beach come from? And how does it work? Can you speak a little bit about this Bhakti Lata Beach? Is it only someone who has Diksha who has Bhakti Lata Beach? Or is it
everyone? My understanding is that Bhakti Lata Beach means you receive this transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge that I must engage in devotional service. I should not waste this life drinking poison. I must drink amrit. And this knowledge comes to everyone. Bhakti Lata Beach means senior devotional service. Senior devotional service means knowledge. The devotional service is supreme. And this knowledge comes when you read these books, when you meet a sadhu, that's when you get this knowledge. Yeah? So, Bhakti Lata Beach comes, is given to everyone. But some take advantage of it. And some take advantage of it by watering the seed. And some don't water the seed. So all of you sitting here, I receive Bhakti Lata Beach. Isn't that good news? But some may say, I let the beach stay there dormant. I'll water it after 20 years. Life's so long. And some will say, no, I will water it now. Life is too short. You can get it at any moment. Isn't it? The decision is ours. We want to water it now or later.
Yeah.
And we want to water the seed now. Okay, good. Any more questions? No more questions?
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.